Thank you, Jane. Very nice having my wife praying for me. That's lovely. I've been very struck this year that the Christmas story is good news. Actually, that's what the word gospel really means underneath it all. In Old English, it was good spell. And the word spell in Old English was just to talk or to announce something. But the trouble is, the Christmas story wasn't good news for everybody. Not everybody was pleased. For example, Mary and Joseph can't have been very pleased themselves. Mary was probably only in her early teens, a very young mum, legally betrothed to Joseph, but in those days no sex was allowed until the day they were married. And in fact, any sexual activity was deemed as adultery, and it would normally result in public execution by stoning. So that can't have been good news to Mary when an angel tells her that she's going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And then she does. She falls pregnant. Imagine her thoughts. Who would have thought it possible? Me, to have a baby. And no ordinary baby either. I'm not even married. Everyone will stare at me. They'll be rude to me. They'll think that Joseph and I have lived together before we've got married. It's not true. That's not what God wants us to do. We want to do what's right. God knows that. The angel said, God was pleased with me. That's why I'm to have this special baby, God's son. I don't understand. I'm scared. It'll be hard. But I believe God knows what's best. I trust him. She was a very brave lady, really, to take it all on and to say yes to God. And then again, Joseph can't have been too pleased either, can he? But an angel comes to him in a dream and tells him it's good news too. Mary's cousin Elizabeth, well, she welcomes the news, but she's quite broody already, isn't she? She's 6 months pregnant anyway. Shepherds out on the hillside, they welcome the news and come down from the hillside. Wise men from the east seek out the newborn king. But again, not everybody welcomed the news. Relatives, innkeepers in Bethlehem really didn't welcome it at all. And Jewish King Herod, well, he had murderous thoughts, didn't he? A rival to his throne. And I guess the Romans wouldn't have been overjoyed either at the thought of this birth of a new king. Some preachers begin their sermons with a prayer from the pulpit. And one famous prayer goes, Lord, comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Well, that's not actually a bad description of the impact of Jesus on the world. Because Christ came to disturb the comfortable and to comfort the disturbed. The poor, the outcasts, those on the fringes of society, well, they welcomed him gladly. He came to comfort them and to give them the status that they lacked, that they'd been denied. He came to bring God's blessing to those who know that they need help, that they're in need. But of course, those in power, those in high office, the religious establishment, all those with a vested interest to protect, they didn't welcome him at all. They were concerned with stability, security, maintaining things as they were. And Jesus, of course, upsets the status quo. John's gospel that Helen read to us tells us he came to his own home, his own place, But his own people did not welcome him or receive him. I wonder, what must that have felt like? To the creator of the universe, to the saviour, the Messiah of God's people. What must that have felt like to come to your own home and be rejected? And yet he didn't draw back. God doesn't draw back. God is with us even in the hard times. Even when we reject him and disobey him, God hangs on in there. And Jesus didn't draw back. He even laid down his life for you and for me. Are we grateful? Well, sometimes. Some presents on Christmas Day can be a bit disappointing, can't they? I wonder if you've had that experience. You've opened the parcel and you thought, must smile. Not really what I wanted, or not really what I asked for. Actually, every day we come across things like that, don't we? Organisations and people that perhaps look exciting and tempting at first sight, but then when we try them, when we open them up, when we go along with them, we find out they're actually shallow and short-lived. The glitter and glamour that fade away, leaving emptiness. Fair-weather friends who vanish when the going gets tough. But the Christmas story says that not everyone, not everything is like that. And the best things in life really are free. And most of those are given by the Creator, by God himself. Somebody said recently, at Christmas time, when we receive presents we don't really need, God offers us the one gift that we cannot do without. The greatest gift of all, his only Son, his beloved, Jesus Christ, and eternal life through him. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for the greatest gift of all, your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Help us to put you at the heart of Christmas. In Jesus' name, Amen.